Welcome back to My Seminary Life. I'm your host, Brandon Knight, and today we are here to celebrate the five-year anniversary of the show. How did we get here? 5 years, and you're still listening to this? 5 years! I can't believe that this show has been on the podcast airwaves for 5 years now. And it's also kind of surprising when I look at the number of the number of episodes. For some reason, when I think of the fact that the show's been around for 5 years, I would expect us to have so many more episodes than I already do. It doesn't help, though, that I, at one point in time, decided to make Fish Fridays, and also going way back, the One More Thing bonus episodes to be a part of their own number count. And so if I was to like reordered the numbers, pull like a Marvel or a DC and start renumbering things, then it would add another like 20 something, almost 30 episodes to the final number count. But I don't want to do that because I don't like the fact that I made that mistake and then it's going to jack up my numbering. It's one big lesson that I learned when I started Kung Fu Pizza Party. No matter what the episode is, it is all part of one continuous number count. No matter what I release, it is all going to be part of the same shared universe, as opposed to My Seminary Life, where I apparently created three separate timelines that are somehow interwoven together. But yes, it has been 5 years of My Seminary Life, which feels like an accomplishment, honestly, to have kept this show going for this long, almost weekly for this long for the past 5 years is incredible to think about. And it's, you know, as is the nature of this episode, I get a little retrospective, and it is it's just amazing to think about all that has changed in the past 5 years. I mean, I've gone through leaving a job, starting a new job, having a kid, moving, like just so many big life, graduating from seminary, just so many big life changes that it's just staggering to think about what can happen in 5 years. And it's also sometimes weird to think about like the show itself and the impact that it has had. That's one of the two things I want to talk about in this 5 year anniversary special. Starting first with impact. Like, it is always hard to measure impact from a ministry standpoint. I've talked about on the show before that I really think, especially in larger churches, that the decision on programming and ministries and outreach and all that is more so dependent upon what can be counted easier, what can be measured easier, because spiritual growth is hard to measure. It is it's not really a numeric thing that you can count on your fingers, as opposed to, you know, how many people came in the door for service today, how many people were at Bible study, how many units did we move, you know, things like that. If I wanted to be like a true podcast bro, I could look at the downloads and say, you know what, in 5 years, the show has grown a little bit over the past 5 years by way of size of audience, but it's been consistent. And I would personally rather have a consistent group of people who continue to show up for every episode rather than just like this ginormous following. At one point in time, especially when I first got into podcasting, I definitely was more about the numbers because I was in among a group of people who were at least marketing themselves as very successful Christian podcasters and getting hundreds of downloads. And I'm like, why am I not taking off as quickly as other people have? And, you know, there's probably some best practices that I'm not doing, but I think about where I was and kind of the journey that I've been on the past few years. And I'm happy that the show didn't explode and that I'm not getting hundreds of downloads. It would be nice, you know, in 5 more years if the show did grow a little bit more. Like, it's not like I hate the idea of having a large following on social media or on for the show, but I would rather it be slow and incremental rather than like this huge explosion. I don't think I would have been able to manage it well. I know very early on, honestly, until probably within the past year, I had a lot of guilt anytime I missed one episode, let alone these times when I've gone like months at a time without releasing an episode, weeks at a time without releasing an episode. And to think about just like the guilt I would have had if the show would have taken off and it's like hundreds of downloads per episode and I have to miss a couple episodes here and there because Cooper's been sick, my mental health has been bad, we moved, you know, all those kinds of things. Just to think about like the guilt I would have like put myself through. Yeah, I'm happy with where the show is at. Would love to see it continue to grow, but you know, I'm very happy with the fact that things are consistent. You all keep showing up, and I appreciate that. And there's been a few new listeners along the way, and I appreciate you all as well, but it is encouraging to have just people who continue to tune back in. You like what you're listening to, and I appreciate that. But like I said, it's hard to measure this, especially because I'm talking into a microphone, and a bunch of people in various places are all listening to this, and it's only going to make so much of an impact on their lives. And there's going to be people who listen because they're friends or their family, and they just want to support me. And I appreciate you for doing that. Don't get me wrong. But it's also weird to measure like the impact that this show is having, because in all honesty, the show is about my growth, right? It's about the impact that my studies, my research, my Christian life, my seminary life has been. This is what the show is chronicling, is my growth. And when you look at it through that lens, like, yeah, episode one Brandon is very different from 5-year anniversary special Brandon, and there has been significant growth and significant impact that this show has played in my life and in my own spiritual growth, because it's me talking about that growth. It's me sitting down and wrestling with what is going on theologically, what is going on in the world, what is going on in scripture. And it's interesting just to think about it from that perspective of like, if I looked back over the past 5 years and I saw no growth happening in my life, then maybe like there's a problem. But instead, I have seen significant growth. So do I wish that I could maybe measure the impact that the show has had on other people better? Yes, I think the community aspect of podcasting is something that this show could definitely do better. It's something that I could definitely do better. And I don't know if I want to put in the work, if I'm being honest. I should want to put in the work. But I know from my own seminary life journey that, yeah, I've seen significant amount of growth over the past 5 years. And I would hope that this show would have the same kind of impact on the listeners, at least in a small way, as well as they are tuning in almost every week. Almost every week. Been pretty consistent lately. Gotta give me that one at least. But since it's the five years of my seminary life, I also felt like it would be necessary to do the good old fashioned, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Just going to continue to double down and sound like a podcast bro for a moment. Where do you see yourself in 5 years? I personally think that's a very dumb question. I do. I used to be, I think I've talked about it on the show before, I used to be really into goals and vision and dreams and the whole bit, but I don't know, 2020 kind of broke me on a lot of that stuff, and also just like my spiritual growth journey. Like, call me a Taoist, but there is just something to the something about like being so narrowly focused on trying to achieve a thing that I feel like I would be missing out on so much of life and possibilities that I would rather just kind of stay a little bit more go with the flow. I'm not a very go with the flow person. I do plan and structure things. You would be surprised to know what month I'm actually recording this episode in, because I'm decided to take the second half of 2025 off so that way I could bulk record episodes for 2026. But there is still, like, in maybe in my day to day or even week by week, there's a little bit of like planning. There's a lot of planning and structure, but just kind of like those big overarching, like, where do you see yourself in 5 years, 10 years types of questions? Like, I don't know. I don't waste a lot of time with them anymore. Like, when I was in college, when I was a dumb 18-year-old, as all 18-year-olds are, it's not just a me thing. We're all dumb at 18. By my age, by my early 30s, I would have thought that I would have been the senior pastor of a church with a bachelor's, a master's of divinity, a master's of theology, so a THM in church history, and a PhD. I thought I was going to have a PhD, be the senior pastor of a church by this point, and be married with several children. I don't know. How, I don't know if you can hear Claire laughing in the background of that one. Thank you. It's always fun being able to record in front of a live studio audience. That's where the dumb 18-year-old Brandon first off thought that apparently money was free and could have been able to do all of that. And that's 18 to 28, early 30s. So that's like a 10-year plan, right? So I don't know. I mean, I did get my master's degree. It's a master's of arts, but I did get my master's degree done before I turned 30, which is good for me. I was able to finish the story, as Cody Rhodes would have said. I was able to finish that story, but I don't know. I don't really, because here's the thing. If I would have been so narrowly focused on that, one, I don't know. I shouldn't say I don't know. I'm fairly certain, like 83 to 98% sure that my life would not be where it is at right now if I would have stayed that narrowly focused. I think I would have been living in a different place, either married to someone else or still single, probably still single, if I'm being honest, in mounds of debt to have gotten done all that education. And I wouldn't be doing this really fun job where I get to be a ninja coach, and I wouldn't be pulpit supplying, which played a huge factor in like my understanding of church unity and just kind of seeing how different people do ministry together. I wouldn't, probably would not know Claire. I would not have producer Cooper. Like, I don't even know if I would have time for this show, to be honest. I would probably be just uploading sermons each week, if anything. So to sit here and think, like, where would I want the show to be in 5 years is a little bit like, I don't know. Maybe still on the air. 10 years of my seminary life, that seems a bit excessive. Like, I know Joshua Knoll's going to be upset if the show ever stops being on the air, but like 10 years of my seminary life, come on, like that's a lot. That's a bit excessive. I will be 37 by that point. Like, that's a lot. But I'll just play along, because I'm just working with the numbers here. So I'll just play along and say, where would I want the show to be in 5 years? So I would say, outside of maybe having a better way to engage with listeners in a way that actually, like, I can hear from people. I tried social media for the bulk of this show's existence, and I'm not blaming anybody, truly. I'm not saying that you all are a bad audience or anything like that, because you show up and listen every week. I just could never get any kind of engagement on social media, which is part of the reason why I just got rid of it. It was something that was just taking more time out of my life, and it would not make a difference if it was there or not. So I got rid of having a social media. It's different with Kung Fu Pizza Party. I get little conversations started with other creators and listeners, and it's different. It's just different, and it's fine that the experience is different. I think Kung Fu Pizza Party allows for audience building in a completely different way than my seminary life does. Like, I think it attracts a certain kind of listener, and then they realize that they're not the right kind of listener, but the listeners that I'm trying to gain are turned off by having the word seminary in the title. It's a whole thing. But Kung Fu Pizza Party, since it is more of like a, hey, I'm just going to talk about some martial art media for a bit and talk about like normal themes and things like that that come up in these movies, like, I think it just hits a broader audience. And that's fine. It's fine. I wish that people could, you know, I wish I could figure out a way to engage with the audience a little bit better. I guess that would be one thing I would say for in the next 5 years of my seminary life. I would hope that I could maybe engage with the audience better. I've given up on the whole idea, honestly, of like, I'm going to do live shows with my seminary life. I've tried. I really have. I've been trying to, again, just trying to get my name out there. But, you know, I think sometimes it comes from a good heart. Christians can be very protective of space. Some people aren't. They'll let anybody get up and talk in front of an audience. But other groups are a little bit more protective of their time and their space and don't want just some guy with a podcast to come talk. And so, again, I think this is where like Kung Fu Pizza Party is different, you know, because it's more neutral, I guess. Like, there's more avenues for me to like potentially start showing up at things and doing live recordings or, you know, like whatever, hanging out with the general public. Whereas, you know, as I've tried to get my name or get the show out there to different conferences, like, no response. It is just like me applying for pastor jobs. Just ghost me and no response. So, you know, we'll just chalk that one up for another win for me. I would hope in the next 5 years that either during this next 5 years of the show that we fall butt backwards into some money and I'm able to do maybe not a whole nother big thing like a master's degree or start my doctorate or anything like that. But if there's like a couple courses I could take or work on a small certificate that requires, you know, like 4 classes or something, like, I would hope that either within the next 5 years or like immediately following that, we would be in a position for me to do something. Because as I've said here on the show over and over again, I like the classroom environment. Whether or not we were actually supposed to do theological training this way or not, I just like the classroom structured environment. And so it's weird. I don't have a lot of time to give right now in my life. And we're broke. So there's not a lot of money to give towards taking classes and all of that, but there is still like this desire to, even if it is just something small, just something else to put on the resume and you guys get to hear about it, because that's really all it's going to be at this point. I really do not expect to keep taking classes or keep working on, you know, certificates and other things as a way to brush up my resume and get churches to notice me. I don't think it matters. I really don't. I would be doing it for me and inadvertently for you all, because you would have to hear about it. If you're going to listen, you have to hear about it. That's like the whole premise of this thing. So, and because I'm not doing it for quote career advancement, that also kind of like, I don't know, doesn't make it that big of a priority. You know, priorities are mortgage payments and, you know, paying for repairs on our car and making sure there's food on the table. You know, the important things, not, well, Brandon wants to take a this class thing. So I would hope that in the next 5 years, either that changes, or, you know, that after the 10-year mark, you know, it looks like, oh, okay, we can actually do a thing. I can do a thing. Like, that would be cool. But, you know, again, I'm not going to, like, tie myself down to, like, some super narrow defined goal, because I did not see my life at this age going this way. So who knows what my late 30s are going to look like. I'm just going to kind of be faithful, do my thing, do the next good thing, and, you know, kind of keep on keeping on kind of thing. I will say, if there was any kind of concrete thing I would like to do with my seminary life in the next 5 years, is I do have an idea for a publication. I do have an idea for something I would like to write and get published. Probably self-published, because let's be honest, it's going to be like everything else that in my life when it comes to ministry, and I'll pitch the book around for 7 years and nobody will want to pick it up. So I'll just cut to the chase and self-publish it. There's a devotional style book that I've had in mind for a while now. One of those best practices of podcasting is that you're supposed to, like, you use and reuse your material. So you make podcast episodes, you make video versions of it, you write books and create courses, the whole blah, 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 blah. It's all part of the whole money-making monetization part of podcasting. There is a frequent topic that keeps coming up here on the show that in time, hopefully by the 10-year mark, I will have enough material to be able to put something together. This is something that I'm excited about. I don't really want to, like, give too much away at this point, because I have also learned over the past 5 years that I should not make my plans public, because they never go according to plan. Ergo, why I don't make 5-year plans. So hopefully over the next 5 years, you will hear about, hey, I'm self-publishing this book and please buy it. Because that would also, you know, kind of help a little bit with the whole is this show making an impact thing. Like, if people have been listening to me talk about this subject for over 5 years now and people start buying a book about it, then okay, it sounds like maybe there's a thing here that people care about. So the big thing, though, that I wish I could figure out how to do, and I don't know how to make this possible. And so maybe this is a future beyond the next 5 years of my seminary life, would be, I wish I could figure out a way to help make higher education more affordable for pastors. I got blessed. I wanted to say I got lucky, but I'll be a Christian and say I got blessed, because I got a lot of help. When I was in college, I got through college and seminary without having to take out student loans. I got a really good scholarship when I was in college, and I had a lot of help with grad school. And there is this part of me that really would like to, you know, pay it forward, pay it back, pay it forward, whichever direction it's supposed to be. I want to give it back, kind of thing. And I really wish I could come up with a way to make that possible. I wish I could start the My Seminary Life scholarship program for people who want to go to college, or particularly who want to go to seminary, because there's way less funding for grad school. When you're in college, you can get a lot of grants and scholarships. And when you go into doctoral work, you can get a lot of funding. It's that middle part to do the graduate studies, the master studies, which you do need if you want to keep going all the way to doctoral level, that, unless you're Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who somehow was able to skip that because the 30s was different in Germany. I wish I could, like, start a foundation or start funding. And even if it was just a little bit, like, here's a little bit of a scholarship to help you, you know, if anything, get your books, or, you know, pay for a class a semester or something, because it's stupid expensive. That's period. Like, it's just stupid expensive. And by and large, although people get into pastoral ministry without it, statistically, most people in pastoral ministry either don't have a bachelor's or a master's within the field. Statistically, I am actually in the minority by having both, and I don't have the job. So I don't know. Again, there's just whatever. Anyway, so I wish there was just a way I could do that. Or, you know, I have become a bit of a critique, a bit of an advocate for we need change and reform within the education system, of the higher education system, in order to better train people going into ministry. And like, it's, I hate being the guy who just talks about it and doesn't make any actual changes. I wish I just knew how to make changes. And unfortunately, just because of how the world is, change comes when you have power and authority and sway. And again, I'm very thankful for the audience who is here, because you keep coming back every week, but we're a small group. And I don't know if I just need to start my own college and seminary, or, you know, my me making courses for you to take. Like, it would be good for you, but if you're a person who like wants to go into ministry, you can't just take my courses and that's going to get you a pastoral job. It's just, that's just not how it works. I don't know how people offer certificates and courses online and like, yeah, you could get a job with NASA if you take my random course. No, you can't. Stop lying. Your random course isn't going to make anybody successful, especially because there's no accreditation behind it. So these are like the things that I want to happen either within the next 5 years or beyond. I don't know how to make those happen. So I'm going to continue to focus on what I can do and speak out for the things that I think are important, talk about what I'm learning, and hopefully not scare any of you away, because once people stop listening, I guess then I'm like done. So, but thank you all for listening to this episode. If you've hung in here for almost a half hour, thank you. Appreciate it. Make sure you rate and review this show if you haven't yet already. I don't know what your excuse is. You've been listening to this for 5 years already. But rate and review this show wherever you get your podcast. Pass this episode along to a friend. And consider checking out all the other great shows here on the Anazal Ministries Podcast Network, like the Whole Church Podcast, The Homily, and my sister show, Kung Fu Pizza Party, where I promise to deliver high-flying action in 30 minutes or less and serve up some wisdom one slice at a time. And check out my YouTube channel, Studio 219, A Place for Faith and Pop Culture. I think that is it. I'll catch you all next week for another exciting edition of My Seminary Life. But until then, this has been Brandon signing off for 5 years now. Reminding you, as always, that theology is for everyone, so keep on studying.